Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let's open our Bibles once again tonight. The 8th chapter of Proverbs and verse 1. I want somebody to help me with reading 2 tonight. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of the Lord. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes a stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Amen. Hallelujah. And the 4th chapter and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Stotram. Praise the Lord. Wisdom is the principal thing, the most important thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. Amen. When you read the book of Proverbs, you will find that the Bible there is addressing, or wisdom is actually addressing, 3 kinds of people. One is called the simple. The simple. The second one is called the scorner. And the third is the fool. Hallelujah. Amen. And wisdom, even tonight, is crying out to these 3 kinds of people. The symbol, the scorner, and the fool. Amen. Hallelujah. നമ്മുടെ ചിലവരൊക്കെ നോക്കിയിട്ട് പറയും, അവനൊരു സിംബിളനാന്ന് പറയും. Amen. If you are a biblical Christian, that is not a compliment. Because the Bible says what the simple are like. And the first thing we're going to see is wisdom is crying out to the simple. And who are the simple? Well, the first thing that the Bible says about them is that they believe everything. The symbol are the ones who believe everything. Amen. In other words, they don't have conviction about any single thing. They believe just about everything and everyone. But tonight we are praying and asking the Father to give us godly, holy, pure, divine wisdom. Amen. You don't have to stay simple. Wisdom is crying out. It's calling out. Begging of you and pleading with you. In all you're getting, get me. Amen. They believe everything. Now let's look to the scripture, because there are plenty of scriptures tonight. The 14th chapter of Proverbs and verse 15 says this: the simple believes every word, but the prudent man considers well his steps. The simple, come on church, tonight it's just Amen. The symbol believe everything, every word. In other words, they don't have any discernment at all. You can never see them walking with convictions. They will be in every camp and thus getting nowhere in life. People with convictions always challenge others. People with convictions rub the people of not the same convictions the wrong way. Symbol, they believe everything. Second thing about them is that the Bible says they have absolutely no understanding. Proverbs, the 7th chapter. And the 7th verse. I perceived many among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. The 9th chapter, verse 4. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Wisdom is saying, as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come eat of my bread. So the simple, they believe everything. 2, they have absolutely no understanding. And here in Proverbs 7, speaking about a young man without understanding, who is called simple, who is walking about the streets. You find this man on the street, and when the woman who is called foolish, the one who is immoral, calls him, boom, he steps in there. Why? Because he's simple. You hear that? Amen. We want to have divine godly wisdom that will keep us from the snares of the flesh. Amen. Have you seen simple people? They get fooled. Whether it be man or woman. This man, because he is a simpleton, and since he's got no understanding, you will find him everywhere. Look at the Proverbs 7. When you read through it, you will find him everywhere. He's on the street corner one moment, then he's in the coffee shop, then he goes into the next place, then he's in the next place, then he's going by a door of a house, one place to another. Why? Because in his soul there is an emptiness. He's not asked God for wisdom. He's trying to grab, he's trying to get over that emptiness in his soul by looking everywhere. Without seeking wisdom. Oh, we need wisdom, don't we? Hallelujah. All of us need it. 3, the simple man whom wisdom is addressing, he can never see ahead. He can never see ahead. If you are a businessman and you want to have people giving you counsel around you, don't put a simpleton there. Because he can never see the future of your company. If you're wanting to spiritually serve the Lord and you get to serve the Lord and you're part of a ministry, don't ask counsel from a man who is simple. He might be a nice guy, but he cannot see ahead. So he will always speak for the moment. You hear that? If you are a family man and you are a simpleton, You will never be able to impart a vision upon your children. You can only see what they have come out of or what they are going through. You can never see things into their lives, into the future. You cannot see ahead. So you look at your child and say, oh, she's like this, she's like that, he's like this, he's like that. But you can never see something about him into the future. And wisdom tonight is calling forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory unto the name of the Lord. They cannot see ahead. Look to Proverbs 22 and verse 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Amen. The 27th chapter, Proverbs, and verse 12. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, the simple pass on and are punished. In other words, they just go about life without ever having a vision. You try telling these guys about the second coming of Jesus, they laugh at you. You try speaking to that man about eternity, about final judgment. You try telling that person about the great white throne judgment. I don't know how I'll pay my bills tomorrow. You're speaking about white throne judgment. He cannot see forward. The symbol. Tonight, God is calling the symbol to have wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, nobody gets attracted to a message like wisdom. You know why? You will find that the reason you don't get attracted to a message called wisdom is because there is too much of foolishness inside of you. You thought I was going to say something nice. See, if you don't enjoy messages of wisdom, that is a sign. That's an easy sign, easier way to discern yourself. It's a sign that you need the message. You say, get me a quick fix. Do something for me fast, Pastor. Get my progress and my future in a microwave right now. Just make me. But hallelujah. Amen. We're going to get rid of that foolishness. Amen. So nobody looks at another and says, even a little simpler now. Hallelujah. The second one that wisdom is addressing is who it's called a scorner. The one who scorns everything. Oh, and you know about these guys? The Bible says something incredible. The first thing that the scorner's nature or his mindset is such that the scorners think they know everything. The scorner thinks that they know everything. It's hard to get them teachable. It's hard to get them to listen to you. It's hard to impart something into that life. All the time, when you go into a party or when you go into a church or when you go into a hall or somewhere, you can just discern just like that. Boom. Just like that. One look. And you know. The scorner. Boom. Where he is. They speak about everything. They will speak about everything. They'll speak about the Bible as if they wrote it. They will speak about other people's lives. They will speak about the present political situation in Spain and the climate in Africa. The 21st chapter of Proverbs. And verse 24. A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. He's unteachable. He cannot be corrected. They'll easily get offended. You try telling them something, they'll get offended. You know people like that? You know it. And, you know, the Bible mentions very something very... If you think that your life is being identified in that area, you better really pray. Because the 14th chapter of Proverbs and verse 6 says, it's very hard for him to find God's wisdom. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it. He seeks. You start speaking about wisdom, for 2 days he'll pray about that. Lord, give me wisdom. If you're going to give it to me, give it tonight. Because tomorrow I'm not sure whether I'll be there for the meeting. They don't seek after it. And they never find it. And what happens? They might give you an ear the first time you open the message called wisdom. The second time you speak about it, they won't even come. You know why they'll say? Last time you said wisdom, we prayed about it. I didn't get anything. I've even done more stupid things after that. Oh, hallelujah. The next thing about them, the 9th chapter, and verses 7 and 8. He who reproves a scoffer gets shame for himself. So he doesn't profit from rebuke. Hear that? You rebuke him, and you feel ashamed that you rebuked. You know why? Because the minute you rebuke him, immediately they'll say, Pastor, you don't understand. Nobody understands me. As a matter of fact, I don't understand me myself. Nobody understands. So you went in that rebuke to bless that person, but how he took it, As if you were trying to kill him. You were trying to give him life. Hear that? They get easily offended. They'll always try to blame something else when they are rebuked or corrected. Oh, since they are a scoffer and a proud man, what they will do is they'll take it through one ear and then go through the other. So you go meet these people, it is impossible to correct them. The 13th chapter, verse 1. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Can never listen to rebuke. You rebuke that person? No way. That's the end. Relationship is closed. I thought pastor would understand me. Now I don't think I'll come to the fellowship. Now meet you again. I think I am all alone in this world. Nobody understands me actually. And even God has forgotten me. Why is the whole world against me? My brother, my sister, you better get on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me. I told you last week. See, love has got two dimensions to it. In love, there is acceptance, and in love, there is confrontation. When Lucifer rose up against Jesus, against the Lord, and said, I want to sit on the throne, God came down. The Lord didn't say, since I love you so much, Lucifer, on Sundays when everybody is worshipping, I'll sit on the throne. And on Friday, since the whole church in Cochin is worshipping me, I'll sit on the throne. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Lucifer, you sit. No. The Lord said, Michael, confront him. Amen. Hallelujah. You confront somebody to bless them. Amen. Hallelujah. The 15th chapter, verse 12. Listen to this. A scoffer does not love one who reproves him, nor will he go to the wise. Can you imagine that? A scoffer does not love him who reproves him. Kutaveti. Pinna povu varu illa. Avoid cheyyagu. Amazing, no? Oh, hallelujah. Now look at the nature. We're going to look at the nature. The 21st chapter. And we're going to ask God to set us free from all that. And ask Him to fill us with divine, godly, holy, pure wisdom. The 21st chapter. The 21st chapter, verse 11. When the scoffer is punished, see, if you recognize in your family there is a scoffer, you better not spare the rod. You better punish that person. That's the way to help him. In a church, if you find there's a scoffer, you better punish him. In privately, personally, one-on-one, invite him for tea and then give him a spank. That's what I do usually. So that the person can be changed. Hear that? You want to grow in discernment, don't you? You want to be wise people, don't you? Amen. Do you want me just to give something you sweet and nice and just go off? Or you want me to give you real good, deep stuff that'll change your life? Amen. Hallelujah. In every congregation or in every family, remember, it'll always be the scoffer who will make trouble. Will be usually a troublemaker. And that's why you need to correct and punish that person so he can change and be blessed. Now we won't spend more time there. We're just going to ask the Father to give us wisdom so we don't become scoffers or simpletons, but we become really mature, godly, wise people. Into the next year, we don't want to go as a scoffer and as a simple person. We want to go as wise people. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So the wisdom is addressing the third group of people. The third group of people that wisdom is calling for is what I said, the fool. Now, when we speak about the word fool, most people would say fool is somebody whom you see on the street who's got the hair all out, dress all torn, somebody who's making a noise, somebody whom you met the other day who damaged your car. Well, that's what most people would think a fool is. But Bible describes who a fool is. Amen. For one, we know in Psalms 14 verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. If he's got two PhDs, he's got from the biggest of universities in the world, and he's got a huge salary, still the Bible calls him a fool. The minute you come and say, there is no God, no matter how huge your degrees are, no matter what your educational qualifications have been, you're still a fool. Amen? Hallelujah. But have you noticed that people usually give interest to them? They would rather listen to a man like that than listen to somebody who is preaching the word. Now that word Proverbs, Psalms 14 verse 1, you know what it means? It does not mean people who say there is no God, but it's also speaking about believers who in their heart have let gone their trust in the Lord because of situations that have risen over their lives for which they were unable to give an answer. They go to church, they come for prayer, they worship, but concerning a particular problem that they are going through and a situation that they are going through, they don't think actually the Lord would help them and bring them through. So in their hearts, they've quit on God. And still the Bible calls that person also a fool. And the Bible says about them, because they have lost their trust in the Lord inside their hearts, each man goes his own way. And there is none who seeks after God. Psalms 14 says, they go their own way. And there is none who seeks after God. In other words, they don't want to pray.
They'll say, why pray? You hear that? Oh, hallelujah. They say, listen, I know Jesus is Lord. I go to church. I do my tithing. I do my, you know, I'm kind of pally with the pastor, everything. But listen, I don't think there is a way out for me from this. So what? Since their heart is no longer trusting in the Lord, they go their own way. They do what is right unto them. If you think you are there, then write your name on that scripture. And say, Lord, help me. Hallelujah. Some people will only write scriptures, their name on scriptures, which is kind of blessing under them. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Rajesh Matthew is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's good. You know, you have, sometime like I said, you have these bless me cards that you find, scripture verses. You go, you pick up one. It's a bless me card. Amen? And we all love picking up that one. Before, after retreat, we used to, you know, there was a time when we used to give those cards. So they want a word from God, they're going out, one card they pick up. It's always a bless me card. What we need is a correct me card. Let's see how many will pick up. What we need is a correct me card. You keep a box like that, only corrections. You want to pick up one, pick up. You wouldn't open it in your life, would you? That's the one that will help you. Amen? Hallelujah. Stop. Now look at these guys. About them, the Bible says, the 12th chapter, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he who heeds counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. In other words, he's self-confident. In other words, he's always Mr. Right. And others are always the ones that are wrong. Hallelujah. You still here? You feel like getting up and going? Tonight the word is like a double-edged sword. That will get you and kill the foolishness inside of you. And make you wise. Amen. Two, look at them. The first chapter, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You cannot instruct them. Can never instruct them. Hallelujah. Three, the 16th chapter, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now read the 14th chapter, verse 3. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. In the mouth of a fool is pride. And pride always goes before a fall. In other words, they always speak proudly. Can you imagine the definition of a fool in the Bible? Chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contentions, and his mouth calls for blows. In other words, he loves to fight. He's always looking to pick up a fight. Let me tell you one thing. When we evangelize in wisdom. I believe in evangelizing. Amen? Hallelujah. We're not looking for a fight. These guys are always looking for a fight. Sometime back in the time of worship, Jerry said, "The devil and I, we don't agree." Come on, say it boldly. Many of you didn't. It could be because of two reasons. One could be because there is sin in you and you don't feel strong and righteous to take on the devil. Two, it could be because you are really wise. Before you go into warfare, you want to know whether you can take on him. You hear that? And you want to know it from Scripture. You know you have authority and all power in Christ Jesus. But before you open up any frontier for warfare, you want to know whether you can. You don't say war and then expect peace. Last week, you heard a message on discernment, on building up your spirit man inside. And you declared war on your flesh. And during the week when challenge came, you don't say, "Oh my God, where is peace?" It's war. It's war. You better face it. Amen. Hallelujah. A fool will call. That's why, you know, always I declare war in the midst of time of fasting and prayer. When you're really praying, when you're really fasting, you open up certain areas in the spirit, in the lives of people. And then you face it, and you know it. You don't open too many battlefronts at the same time. You know that, don't you? You know how when to fight. It's important. A wise person will know. Like I said last week, Deborah, you know, you have to know when to fight and when to be silent. You never fight on enemy's terms. You only fight when God tells you. And then you fight. And then you win. If you're going in for a ministry and you're going to open up a mission field somewhere, you know there's a warfare out there. You fight. You've got your sword outstretched. You discern the spirit, which are the strongholds. You discern the enemy. You break its power. And then you go there and smile. And God moves. When you come in for a meeting, you know what's the stronghold that you're going to challenge that day in the spirit. And you're going to prepare your spirit to make sure that it's struck down. Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some of the reasons why you're going through struggles is because you have opened up too many friends in your own life. And you haven't completed.
You have sought the Lord maybe for a deliverance from sin and you have not completed. At the same time, you went and opened up an emotional struggle that you have before the Lord and you didn't press on for your healing. So you've got now two friends. You've got your emotional side for healing, which you have been pressed on to the Lord and the enemy is harassing you there. You've got an area of sin that you opened up looking for victory and you have been pressed on there. And so you've got a struggle there. And then suddenly you want to serve the Lord and you step out another open door. You say, I'm going to serve the Lord too. And then you suddenly face the challenge from there. Boom. And then suddenly you got to deal with 1, 2, and 3. And you don't complete anything else. And then you open up another one. Somebody comes to you and says, pray for my 400-year-old problem. Right from our family ancestry, we have got this problem. Please pray for that. And you open up that too. Yeah, I'll pray with you. And the devil says, you will? I've been binding up this woman for 400 years, her family. Do you think you will? And you pray for 2 days, you forget the whole thing. The devil doesn't. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. You better learn to open up doors before the Lord at the right time and press on and grab your victory from the Lord. You hear that? Now these guys just love to fight. Fools. They just love to fight. They're looking for a fight. Hallelujah. Twentieth chapter, verse 3. It's honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. Isn't that amazing? Any fool can start a quarrel. Isn't that amazing? When I went into the States, I was in a particular city there. And a woman whom I knew, she hated the gospel. She hated the work that I was doing. She called me over for dinner, her family, because she's somewhere related to us. And so you have social things also to look into. And since I was free that evening, I went there. And I thought, may let it be some time of, you won't touch on anything on the word and start a quarrel. Just went there for dinner. And there was a man with me whom I expected to stand up for the Lord and for the word. And over the dinner table, this woman starts up speaking about a lot of things against the word. And I keep quiet. She's starting up a quarrel, I know that. And this scripture is coming into my mind. So I keep quiet. And then I told her, listen, I just came for a dinner because you invited me, not to share the Bible. If you're going to fight over the Bible, be open. Because I had also opened my Bible and I would speak scripturally. But I don't use the word to enter into a fight or quarrel with somebody. I don't have time for that. So only if you are open and you want to receive from God, definitely we'll share the word. Otherwise, no. But I suddenly realized when I came off, it was this man who was starting up a quarrel. He would throw in a seed to start a quarrel. Appi thanginya. You're a Baptist, okay? And this woman would catch it from there and throw it. And he would wait back and watch the fight. You seen that? Some people come to have a conversation with you. Not in wisdom.
They'll come in, they'll strike up a conversation. It's foolishness. You hear that? I don't want foolish people in the congregation. You have to see, what is it your priority? Does it matter to you? Is it your problem? The Bible says, he who meddles in the quarrel of somebody else is like a man who catches the dog that is on the street. Can you imagine that? Some people get interested in other people's quarrel. It's like a man who is grabbing the dog that is already mad by the ears. And it isn't even your dog. Hallelujah. Wisdom. Amen. Will keep us from being quarrelsome. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you need to underline that word. Any fool can start a quarrel. 18th chapter, verse 13. Look at scriptures tonight. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. In other words, they will speak without thinking. Amen. A fool will speak without thinking. You hear that? One fool opens up a quarrel, and another fool speaks without thinking. So you have two people in a conversation, and both fools, you can imagine what will happen there. I like messages like this. Hallelujah. It gets us into a place where we can correct ourselves if we are genuinely hungry before God and get real wisdom of God inside of us. Amen. They speak without thinking. Let me tell you, wisdom will always show up, you know when? When you obey the word in James chapter 1 and verse 19, where it says, let every man be slow to anger, quick to listen, and slow to speak. Let every man be quick to listen, slow to anger, and slow to speak. So what you need is, when a man throws in a question at you, if you want the wisdom of God to show in your life, don't start answering him immediately. Stop for a moment. Say, Lord, my God, let your wisdom show up. And then speak. Count till seven. And pray. And then speak. You hear that? That is wise. The other is foolish. Hallelujah. Are you learning something tonight? Amen. Oh, the next one, you will enjoy it even more. The 14th chapter, verse 9. It says there, fools mock at sin. Isn't that amazing? Fools mock at sin. You know, I remember while we were staying in a rented house long time back, when I was young, we had a neighbor who had a white dog. And so we would play cricket in our courtyard, and the ball would go into the terrace of the other house, and if somebody would climb up, to take up the ball, this white dog would come barking. And so what would, you know, once we sent our driver up, he went in to collect the ball, and this dog came barking. He took a matchbox and threw the fire. It actually hit the dog. It got burned and it got scared. It ran away. Somewhere it pained. So it got scared and ran away. The next time the ball goes, this man will go up and he will just show like this. And in the middle of the dog will turn back on. And so we learned. Next time you hit the ball there and the dog comes barking, stand there. Immediately it knows. ഒരു പട്ടിക്ക് അത് പഠിച്ചെങ്കിൽ നിനക്കൊന്നും പഠിക്കത്തില്ലേ. Hallelujah. Amen. Fools mock at sin. In other words, they don't change. They don't learn anything from it. Hallelujah. You do something wrong, you go onto unholy fire, you get burned. Next time you see fire, say, fire. Next time you go there again, you know it? You need to learn, that's wisdom. You don't go on saying, it's okay. It's okay. You hear that? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. Fools mock at sin. Now, what they don't learn. You know it. When you sin, you feel guilty. You feel ashamed. You feel terrible. You feel oppressed. It takes the joy out of your salvation. It takes the praise out of your mouth. You don't feel excited about the Lord and about the Word. When you sit into prayer, you feel like sleeping. You know it. You know what are the consequences of sin as a believer after you've come to the Lord. But many people don't recognize it. They don't learn from it. Again, they see the fire. No. Amen. Hallelujah. Stotram. Oh, hallelujah. The 17th chapter, verse 10. It says there, reproof is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. They are not helped by discipline. You hear that? Fools are never helped by discipline. A wise man will love reproof. You know a preacher is wise or not, how? You know that? Maybe I shouldn't tell you that. Hallelujah. You go into a congregation, you can discern, boom, just like that. Last Tuesday night, I was in a meeting where there were 28 pastors. And I was preaching by faith in this one, those ministers are there. He's going to give them an opportunity to speak so you can discern. Boom. And so you can help them, genuinely help them. Without giving another sweet, nice prophecy saying, I see you go under the Pacific, God taking you there. I see you go over the Himalayas. I see the Lord taking you there. I see you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So saying that you can really say the real good thing and help them and build up them. Some people only want prophecies and messages like that. Whenever a man of God begins to only give up messages that might sound encouraging but really not will discipline you, watch out. Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. That was one of the scriptures that my spiritual father taught me and told me to by heart it. He would make me by heart it. I wrote down that scripture and I learned it. The third chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Verses 15 onwards, you can read. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. The holy scriptures will make you wise for salvation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is reproof, there is instruction, there is doctrine, there is for correcting so that you can walk in righteousness, that you might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture. Hallelujah. Oh, lift your hand and say, I love all scripture. So help me, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 27 and verse 22. Though you grind a fool in mortar with pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. You try discipline this guy? He won't. The strongest words are used there. It says, though you grind a fool in mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness. In other words, yet he will hold on to his foolishness. And say, the pastor just does not understand. Nobody just understands me. Nobody really cares. I feel so hurt. Oh, hallelujah. Bless you. You know what happens to most people? I've learned it over years. There's not a single person here, I suppose, who has not come and told me, Pastor, you have every right to rebuke and correct me. They say it in a time when they're spiritually flying. They say it in a time when they're spiritually flying and absolutely the Lord will never make you correct them. And suddenly they fall into a ditch and they can't fly. And they are in a struggle and God says, now you go correct them. And you correct them. And you can see the hurt on their face. But the corrections of God are much better. I have profited much from correction than from any other message in my life. If you will look into your own spiritual graph, you will see messages that you have been open to when you were corrected has taken you up. You hear that? Those are the messages that has made you go on your knees and cry before God and seek the face of God and consecrate your life, that gets you up and flying. Hallelujah. Oh, glory unto the name of the Lord. Now, how to have wisdom or how you can become wise? You might be all these three, but lift your hand and ask God for divine God who would leave wisdom. Lift your hands and ask Him. Pray, pray, pray.
Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Proverbs itself tells us who is the wise man. Amen. When you look into scriptures, and somebody says he's wise, what he means sometimes might be knowledge. That might be good, but that might not be actually what God's wisdom is all about. Because I've seen people without education walking in the wisdom of God. Wisdom will always bring you to Jesus. You'll find the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew. You will find wise men came from afar, not to see Bethlehem, not to see Nazareth, not to see all of Judea, not to see Herod, not to see his palace, but they came to seek Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God's wisdom will always lead you to Jesus Christ. It'll make you bow your knees before Jesus. It'll make you treasure Him more than anything else. It'll make you worship Him. Wise men are men who will bend their knees before Jesus, who will give their all unto the Lord, who won't count it a trouble to come from afar, to have a glimpse of Jesus and to worship Him. Wise men did not come and worship Mary, did not worship the angels, did not worship the shepherd boys, did not worship Joseph, did not worship anyone else, but worshiped Jesus Christ. You know, a man is genuinely wise. Some of the real great theologians have been some of the most foolish people because they have never come to Jesus. They have spoken about angels, they have spoken about the importance of somebody else and not Jesus. But real God's wisdom, if you have come to Jesus, if you love worshiping Jesus, let me tell you, you are wise indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. 2. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning. In other words, a wise man is a person who is willing to hear the word of God. You will be open to the word of God to change you. You won't put up a wall in your mind or in your heart when the word of God is preached. You will open up your hearts to it. A wise man will hear the word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 When you enter any situation in your life, there might be trials, there might be stumblings, there might be failures, there might be struggles. Whenever you go through any kind of crisis in your life, whether it be spiritual, emotional, physical, whatever, that's the time to make sure that you have opened yourself up to the word of God to receive God's word. Most people would love to hear the word of God when they have no problem. It is a sign that you're immature. Who wants to hear
the word of God when there is no problem. As well read a magazine and go to sleep. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You need a lamp only when it's dark. When you're going through a dark time in your life, when you don't understand why certain things have happened in your life, search the word of God. If you are in a financial trouble, search the word of God to find out what's wrong with my finances. If you're struggling in an area of sin, search the scriptures to find how I can come out of it. If you're faced with a crisis where you are not seeing the ministry that you want to do for the Lord flourishing out or blooming out, check the scriptures on where, what you have to do. Get yourself into a place where you can submit to the word of God and receive His enlightenment. Wise people do that. Amen. The 12th chapter, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. He who heeds, that word means actually obeys. It's just not hearing, but a wise man will obey. Some people will ask you not to obey. They'll ask you, how do I get out of this trouble? What do I have to do? And you tell them, they won't obey. Hallelujah. Have you seen that? No, most people don't have a problem of actually asking God for His word. But they don't want to obey. In every scripture that you hear, there will be some part which God would be asking you to obey. When it stops from obedience to information, you are in big trouble. When it comes to a part of just getting another scriptural knowledge and writing notes and getting some information, you are in big trouble. But when you hear the word of the Lord and when you hear and say, Lord, what is the part that I need to obey? Which is the area that I need to correct? Where are you asking me to? And when you go before the Lord and say, Lord, I seek your face, give me grace to obey you in this area, then you will find the wisdom of God falling upon your life. Amen. The 9th chapter, verse 9 and 10. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Now read the 14th verse. You know, look at the 13th verse. I just have to mention it. That's all. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. Foolishness and simpleness both together. My God. And you can see what her outward life is like. For she sits at the door of her house when she is supposed to be like the wine inside the house. She's sitting at the door. If you have girl children, make sure that you discipline them so their feet can stay inside. Hear that? On a seat by the highest places of the city. You'll find them everywhere. From one shop to another. They call it window shopping. In other words, you know, there is a emptiness in the soul that is lack of wisdom. And you're looking for something to gratify. And you want something to, you know, fashion or style or something. You're not at peace inside. Wisdom will bring you to a place of peace. Now, I won't go through the rest of it, because the double-edged sword might really go in. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying the word tonight? Is this helping you? Will you come back tomorrow for worship? Hallelujah. The seventh chapter. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin. Amen. Hallelujah. That they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Amen. In other words, wise people will not only hear, not obey, not only want to obey, but they will keep the word in their heart. They'll keep it in their heart. Let me tell you one thing. Take all the time you can. Now, to discipline your life and put the word into your heart. It's an investment for the future. When you are healthy, when you can see, memorize as many scriptures, no matter what the trouble is. Put it into your heart. You do not know when you will need it. You do not know when you will need it. You know that? One way a wise person will prepare himself or herself. When the Bible was taken away in the communist countries during persecution time against Christians, they could no longer read the Bible. They could no longer go for a prayer and hear the word of God. And the wise ones were the ones who had the word of God in their hearts. If the Bible was thrown apart and thrown away, they had the word inside of them. My grandmother told me, "Mone, I can't read. I'm old. My eye is not that good." But because she loves the word, she's got somebody who can read it forth for her. You might not have that privilege. So it is important that you have the word inside of you. It's an investment into the future. Amen. Hallelujah. Teach the word to your children. Write them in your heart. Get the word as much as possible. You know, I said during this, Lord, this 30 days of, 50 days actually, of, you know, partial fast and seeking the face of God into New Year. I said, Lord, I want to go through the Bible again. Read as much as possible. Get as much as possible again into me. Feed myself more into the next year. Do it. The rest of it, I will explain. I'll go through it fast. 14 and verse 16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Amen. A wise person will turn away from sin. A fool will say, no, Jesus is only coming later on. A wise person will turn from sin. You are wise when you turn from sin. You are foolish when you persist. You hear that? We might fall, but we get up. The foolish one will persist. We stumble, but we get up. You hear that? Hallelujah. The more times you get up, more wise you are. You know, New Year is always a time when the 1st of January is the time when people take resolutions. They usually take resolutions, you know. They'll say, you know, I won't smoke, I won't drink, I won't do this, I won't do that. So once a person was taking a resolution, and you know, another person said, I don't think I'll be able to stop drinking. I don't think I'll be able to stop drinking. I don't think I can stop drinking. So his friend said, hey, it's easy. I've thought nearly 100 times. It is so easy. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you still want to be wise? Amen. 14th chapter, verse 16. He will turn from sin. 10th chapter, verse 19. It says there, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. So a wise person will have control over the tongue. A foolish one will always be speaking. We have that. People who are shallow, people who are empty and shallow inside, will always speak. You notice that? Simple to discern. You go into a place and you can discern simple. The person who is the most foolish will be the one who is doing all the talking. The wise man, you will have to get the wisdom out of them. Keep silent. You'll always speak when it's needed. Hallelujah. 16th chapter, verse 23. The heart of the wisest teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. So the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. He speaks to his mouth and says, mouth, you should know when to speak and when to be silent. Amen. And adds learning to his lips. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The 10th chapter, verse 5. He who gathers in summer is wise. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. In other words, wise man will be diligent. Amen. Hallelujah. Hear that? For you to be wise, always learn to move with wise people. When you move with people who are wise,
There's a way of rubbing that onto you. But you move with the one who is simple or a fool, you might look smarter than them. Most people only want that. You hear that? But you will never grow. They choose to walk around with people who are simple and foolish, so they look smarter. In here, did you? Isn't it so? But when you move with people who are wise, you will increase in wisdom. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, that means never stop learning. Because it means when you come to a point where you know everything, you are on your way down. Hallelujah. Tonight, this is the word. Hallelujah. Wisdom. We're just touching the topic. We're going to ask God to give us wisdom, divine wisdom, to handle our family, relationships, ministry, our own lives. So in the new year and in the next year, we will grow in grace and in wisdom. We'll be more mature, more wise. Amen. Hallelujah. There are certain blessings of wisdom. I just mentioned it. You can check it later. One, wisdom will give you strength for war. It is not vitamin C and vitamin D and vitamin A, Bonvita and Boost, meat and fish. That gives, which gives you strength for battle is wisdom, the Bible says, in Proverbs 24 and verse 10. 24 verses 5 and 6. That which gives you strength for battle is wisdom. You're taking up a lot of juice and a lot of vegetables and fruits. All that is nice, good. But that's not going to make you strong for war. That which is going to make you strong for war is wisdom. Isn't it amazing? Most parents spend their time with children giving them, you know, good food when they don't impart wisdom. Good food is good. Amen? But you need to give wisdom. Hallelujah. Two. Third chapter, verse 35 says, a wise man will inherit glory. You want glory? God says, when you grow into a wisdom, you have glory. 16th chapter, verse 1 and 15th chapter, verse 20 says, a wise man will bring joy to others. You want to bring joy to somebody? You want to be a blessing to your pastor, to your family? You want to make him happy? Don't buy him a shirt. Just get smart. Hallelujah. Just be wise. I would love to call the congregation. Oh my God. Hallelujah. When you guys get really wise in the Lord, that'll make you more hungry. You hear that? Because wisdom will always build. Wisdom will never tear down. For the Bible says, a wise woman will build a house, and the foolish one tears it down. So that which tears down relationships, family, is foolishness, and wisdom will always build.
Hallelujah. Amen. So there is glory, there is joy, and there is strength for battle. And the Bible says in 21 and verse 20 of Proverbs, you will have your needs met when you have wisdom. Don't pray for your needs, but say, Lord, I want to have my needs met. God says, grab a hold of my wisdom. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Stand in the presence of the Lord tonight.
Lift your hearts to Jesus. Genuinely pray, Lord, I renounce foolishness. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. I don't want to walk as a simpleton. I want to walk in your wisdom. Father, I ask you this tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, Lord, I apply your blood over my spirit, over my soul, over my body, all that I have. I renounce and I revoke every kind of foolishness. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus now, out of my life, never again to return. I submit to you, Lord Jesus, and right in my heart, release me to walk in your wisdom. Thank you, Jesus.